Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things I should tell you, last week I stood up, today I'm using the stool. I have a knee that all the meniscus and most of the knuckle of the knee is gone. And so what happens is, you got two bones, it'll turn out. And if it turns out, it hurts. I can walk, but it's painful every time. If it pops back in, I can stand. Like last week was in, no problem. Today it's out. So excuse me while I sit, but the message is still the same. Today, we have all four candles lit on our Advent wreath. The only one that's not lit is the Christ candle, which is Christmas Eve. But today, our candle is the love candle. And it's also called the angel's candle. Now, I told you last week that love is mentioned 552 times in the Bible. Now, the other thing I found when I was doing some research for this, in the New Testament, it's only 149 times. So there's a lot of love in the Old Testament, too. But as I was looking, the three main words for love in Greek are agape, phileo, and eros, which is the love that, my brain shut down.
Which one are you
going to try? Agape. It's sacrifice with unconditional love. Thank you. Unconditional love is sacrifice. Phileo is brotherly love. That's why it's Philadelphia. And eros, erotic. I don't think I need to explain that one. Now, here's the thing I found interesting. As we were studying the book of Peter in Bible study, we ran across phileo. Actually, it's Philadelphios is the word that's in there. And I did a word search on phileo, Philadelphios, and that kind of thing. It's only in there twice. And the same thing with eros, there's hardly anything in on that. So everything that deals with love in the Bible is agape. Unconditional love with sacrifice. All right, so why is agape so important that it's used so many times in the Bible? And the other thing is, why do we call it the angel's candle today? I think of a couple good questions. Now, we've been talking about the second coming. Did you see in the readings today a change in focus from the second coming to the coming of Jesus as a baby? Okay, because we talk about the two comings of Christ for Advent. Advent means to come. All right, so now what we're doing is we're coming to Christmas. And as soon as we finish our service today, we are in the season of Christmas. Okay, and so that's one of the things, and the Bible is setting us up for that because we just got done celebrating for the last 3 weeks the second coming of Jesus. Now we're going to bring the little boy. Now, one of the things in all of our readings today, I think there's some important stuff. From our Old Testament reading, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And again, what does Emmanuel mean? God is with us. Okay? In the Psalm, lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. In our epistle, the Gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David, according to the flesh, Jesse's rod, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. And then finally in our gospel, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, God saves. When we look at names of this time period, names are important because they not only are the name of the person, it describes what the person is about. So Jesus, God saves. He was sent here to save us all. And did you notice in the Old Testament, it talked about ye who are ransomed? The cross was known to God, and the Word of God talks about it, even if the people had no idea what it was talking about. Well, today we see the beginnings of that little baby born in Bethlehem. So where does this whole concept come from? The agape, the angel's candle that I talked about. God so loved the world, agape, that he sent his only begotten son to die for us that we might have everlasting life with him in heaven. Agape, unconditional love with sacrifice. All right, Jesus was a sacrifice, right? But he had unconditional love for us. God had unconditional love for us by sending his son to die for us. But remember, Jesus is still God too. He knew that he had to complete that first covenant or we couldn't have a new covenant in Jesus. If anything, God is consistent. Well, so love is important, isn't it? Doesn't love make the world go round? Well, that was secular, but I thought I'd throw it in. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, and also are to love one another. All right, so love each other the same way God loves us. Even though the halitosis and everything else is there and you might disagree with them, you still got to love them, don't you? Sometimes it's a little tough, but we try. Hope, joy, peace, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love came down from heaven to save us. Love is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. When I was studying at the Islamic Center in Tucson, we got talking. I've studied the Quran. I didn't know anything about it, so I thought, well, I'll take some classes. You know, they always talk about the myriad names of God, Allah. You know what name is not used for Allah? Love. That God does not love. So when you start thinking about that, our God is love. And I don't know how many times I've heard, well, we're all praying to the same God. Well, you know, my God is love. My God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't think so. I don't think so. Pardon? Except for the Jews. You know, so finally, all of this love comes to us from heaven. Not only from Jesus, but from the apostles. Remember in Paul's epistle, he says, called to be an apostle. Are we called? Yes. All right, some of us are called to be pastors. Pastor Tony and I are called. Some of us are called to be teachers. How many of you have taught Sunday school? That's a calling. Did you ever think about that? Okay. How many of you are called to serve people? Jerry, working with Jesus Loves You Ministries. Is that a calling? Well, sure it is. You know, many times we look at the idea of a divine call that it's got to be something special. No. Anytime you go out there and you help somebody, you're being called to that help. That's God working through you. The Word is calling to you. Does that make sense to you? I haven't talked about this a lot, but it's one of those things that's really important. So it's whether as a pastor, a teacher, a reader of Scripture during worship, serving on the church council, but especially witnessing to the people around us is a call from God. And what does that call consist of? Love for our neighbor. And remember, you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because it all starts here. If you don't love yourself, you can't love anybody else. And it's all right to love yourself. Okay, you might not like something in you. I mean, oh, I'm being overweight. But you know what? I love my neighbor. I love myself. And that's where it starts. If you can do that, you can love anybody. So the power of Jesus' love comes to us on eagle's wings, in the wings of a dove, so that we can hark the glad sound the Savior comes. If you've gone through the bulletin, those are all our hymns for today. Yes, I picked them for a reason. There's always a method to my madness. Now, all we're waiting for is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, on Christmas Eve. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.